Warning, the following message may be offensive to some audiences. These audiences may include, but are not limited to, professing Christians who never read their Bible, sissies, sodomites, men with man buns, those who approve of men with man bun enablers, white knights for men with man buns, homemakers who have finished Netflix but don't know how to meal plan, and people who refer to their pets as fur babies. Viewer discretion is advised.
People are tired of hearing nothing but doom and despair on the radio.
The message of Christianity is that salvation is found in Christ alone, and any who reject Christ therefore forfeit any hope of salvation, any hope of heaven.
The issue is that humanity is in sin, and the wrath of Almighty God is hanging over our heads.
They will hear his words, they will not act upon them, and when the floods of divine judgment, when the fires of wrath come, they will be consumed and they will perish.
God wrapped himself in flesh, condescended, and became a man, died on the cross for sin, was resurrected on the third day, has ascended to the right hand of the Father, where he sits now to make intercession for us.
Jesus is saying there is a group of people who will hear his words, they will act upon them, and when the floods of divine judgment come in that final day, their house will stand.
Welcome to the Bible Bashed Podcast, where we aim to equip the saints for the works of ministry by answering the questions you're not allowed to ask. We're your hosts, Harrison Kerrig and Pastor Tim Mullett, and today we'll answer the age-old question, should white people personalize black-on-white violence? Now, Tim, what's the purpose of asking a question like this? Can white people personalize black-on-white violence?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, if you're on social media to any degree, and then it's almost impossible to avoid seeing almost like daily new videos of like groups of black people at times beating up white people, you know, so like this is just a daily phenomenon to where I probably see multiple videos like this every day. I'm just, you know, a lot of times like the worst ones are when the white girls are getting beat up or whatever. But then it's, you know, white people, I mean, sometimes like you see news stories of just, I think last week I saw a couple of these like news stories of just white women walking down the street and getting punched by random black people. And so I'm basically just asking a question, how should white people respond to that kind of thing? Like, is there any sense in which they should personalize it in that way? Or is that just like reduced to tribalism, ethnic partiality, us versus them kind of mentality? Like, what is behind all that? So basically, it's just a discussion like, how should white people respond to that? And because I'm a quarter Mexican, then, you know, I guess only 75% of myself is capable of identifying with white people to any degree. So then the other 25% helps me to be objective, right?
We're going to be leaning on that 25% today.
As an ethnic minority, I'm uniquely qualified to answer this question, without being charged with being racist in any way possible. But
what's amazing with that is, you know, you're a quarter Mexican, even your Mexican blood is a minority in your own body.
That's right.
25%. So
75% of myself is oppressing the other 25%. So I'm actually like worse. Like I'm worse than normal oppressors because I'm even oppressing part of my identity here.
You're oppressing part of your own self.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing I was going to say is, you know, just to try and preface this kind of conversation is, you know, we both have a black friend, different black friend. So
I always have different black friends.
That absolves us from any kind of racism that people might think that we're, you know, partaking in. We're not, because we each have a black friend. So
I went to an all black school once. I was a white guy on the basketball team. So, you know, I'm uniquely qualified to answer this question for sure.
That was a time when you were 100% a minority.
100%, yep.
That's right. Instead of just 25% a minority. okay, all right. But now that we've set aside all the qualifications for that, and we've explained why we feel we are qualified to speak on a subject.
You
like
married
this.
A mixed girl, so you're a colonizer.
Yeah, look, I mean, we're we've got several points of colonizer. No, that just means that I'm allowed to now speak on all these subjects.
Who knows the rules?
Yeah, the rule. Anyway, all right. We've said we've qualified why we feel we are uniquely qualified to talk on this subject. Now that we've set that aside and it can no longer be questioned, what is the, you know, what is the answer? I mean, how should we view the, because I see them too. I mean, I see them all the time. I mean, there is one, a pretty disturbing one, probably like a month ago, maybe a little less than that now, where a high school girl just got destroyed by a black girl who was, who I think was much bigger than her and ended up hospitalizing this girl. And I don't think I ever saw, I mean, they were wondering if she was going to live. They didn't know if she was going to live or not. And, I don't know if she did or not. I never really saw a follow up on it, but it was a disturbing, I stopped watching it because it was so upsetting to see. And you know, so I understand that, and I've seen a lot of people, not necessarily Christians, but people online who, you know, who have really started to take all these videos and say, hey, you know,
time to wake up.
You know why this happened. You know, I mean, that like they never outright say it, but then the underlying assumption that they're making obvious, the people who are commenting on these videos, is like, hey, it's because they're black and we're white, and that's why this happened, you know? And so it is a valid question. How do we as Christians look at all this? And I mean, it's not like it's an insignificant data point, right? It's not like this is something taken out of context or anything like that. And so, so like it does seem that there is quite a lot of violence, quite a lot of violence from black people pointed towards white people. And so we have to ask ourselves, hey, what do we do with this? Especially when you're constantly being fed news stories, where the opposite is allowed to be said, you know? So you have like the George Floyd thing where it's put everywhere and you can't avoid it. And you know exactly what's going on. And you're being told that the reason this happened is because white people hate black people. And they essentially send the guy to prison on the worst, you know, like with terrible evidence. I mean, it seems like everything, I remember watching the trial and thinking everything is pointing towards, he's not going to be charged. Like the charges are going to be dropped because it like he was just doing what he was supposed to do. That's what all the evidence seems to suggest. And then they send him to jail anyway. And George Floyd becomes this, you know, sort of icon of, an example of like white on black violence, particularly with the police, towards black people. And so then the question does become, well, hey, does that mean that when it happens the other way, we're supposed to view it the same way? Or are they wrong in trying to present people like George Floyd in the way they are? You know, how does all this work from a Christian perspective? So what are your thoughts on that, Tim?
Yeah, it's interesting. So part of even trying to address a topic like this is to talk about the issue of like black solidarity versus white solidarity and think through, I mean, you do have to think through issues related to like, you know, part of this is like, is race a real thing? There's like is race real kind of discussion here. There's like ethnic partiality. There's identity, who we are in Christ kind of thing. Then there's these terms I just said, like black solidarity, which is allowed, and then white solidarity, which is like racism, you know, by default, you know. And then you have like the things you're talking about where, like, if there's one incident, like this is part of what, like, why this is even an important question to ask is, so I mean, you have like the Ahmaud Arbery kind of case or whatever. So you have one incident like that. That's like national news, and there's rioting and everything else. When you have like an instance of like white on black, you know, violence, basically, you know, like the Trayvon Martin stuff, like all that kind of stuff. Like that's national news. There's looting, rioting, everything else. But then you can just watch on the other end of things, like a criminal justice system, like the media and justice system, whatever, that just seems totally uninterested in the opposite, you know. So white girl gets put in a coma, no one cares, right? It's not national news, nothing's happening with it. No one's like, very few people, like, I mean, you just have like case after case after case of these kind of things happening, and it's nothing, you know. The media doesn't care about it, doesn't fuel a narrative. And so, but then the issue is, it's just like, these are statistically way more likely to happen than the ones that everyone's writing about. And so everyone can just, I think there's a sense in which you look at this like massive imbalance in media portrayal and, you know, anything happening, things happening along those lines, you say, hey, something's messed up here, you know? So there's obvious, whatever's happening, there's just a lot of ethnic partiality going on related to even reporting it. I mean, if we're asking this question, and we're asking this question in a climate where we haven't even given an answer yet, but then we're right. Like everyone is people look at this question, they're going to think that we're racist for even asking the question, right? So you're in that kind of climate right now where if you say, hey, this is weird, you know, like, isn't it a little bit weird that like a white person after white person after white person can get beat up by like mobs of black people online, there's video evidence of it, and literally nothing happens. There's no protests, there's no national news, nothing is happening. And we have like video after video after video after video of this kind of stuff happening. And on the other end of it, there's like, we're told that there's just this massive like racial problem in America where like black people have to be afraid for their lives everywhere they go. But then there's like no video evidence of all this stuff happening, right? Like, it's just like very rare. Like once every couple of years, we'll have one video service. Whereas this is just like, there's hundreds of videos, you know, of the opposite. And we see them, you know, and we have eyes, and what are we supposed to do with that? You know? So I think part of it's that. Part of this is like related to a discussion about like racial solidarity. Like, is there such a thing as racial solidarity? And I could, let me give you an example, and then I want to read some definitions. Okay. Or I want to read some ChatGPT responses, because this is funny. So it's funny to me, but, yeah, I mean, I think if you imagine yourself in Nazi Germany, because I want to go ahead and prove that internet law by, like, the longer discussion goes on, eventually you're going to get to a reference to Hitler and the Holocaust. So let's go ahead and just step into that. But I mean, just imagine you're in Nazi Germany, you're a Jew or whatever, and leading up to that, you start noticing that, like, Jews keep on getting beat up by the Germans, right? And, like, let's just pretend like this is in the age of social media or something like that. So we're, you know, importing an anachronism into our analogy here, but imagine that like there's TikTok, Twitter videos, whatever, every day of a new Jew getting beat up by Germans, and there's nothing like that comparable on the other side, right? There's nothing like that. Like, there's no videos of Jews getting together and beating up Germans. It's just one way. I imagine it. So if you were to ask, well, should the Jew personalize it? Like that's kind of the way we're asking. Like, should it be personal? I would imagine at a certain point, you would think, this seems to be about hatred towards me as like my type of person, right?
Yeah.
So if like you watch video after video after video of it, at a certain point, it should dawn on you like that, like this is, these people don't like me.
Yeah.
And I could be next, and my kids could be next. And, it seems like I have a target on me in that way. And so at a certain point, there should be some kind of realization that there's something happening here, right? Mm-hmm. And then noticing that, I don't think noticing that is like racist or tribalism, or it's just a simple kind of self-protectiveness of living life in a fallen world and realizing that, man, this keeps on happening to people like me, right? Yeah. And like, so is it directed towards me specifically? Well, it seems like it's there's a sense in which maybe yes, right? Like a sense in which maybe that this is personal. It's not just like abstract, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right. So like the idea of Black solidarity is, I think it's a term that's meant to cope with that kind of reality. Right. So I asked ChatGPT, is Black solidarity okay? And this is what ChatGPT said. So it says the concept of Black solidarity often involves a sense of unity and mutual support among Black people aimed at overcoming racial discrimination and achieving social justice. This kind of solidarity is considered not only acceptable, but also essential by many outside of Black communities for addressing systemic issues of inequality and promoting positive change. So Black solidarity can manifest itself in various ways, including social movements, cultural affirmation, community support programs, advocacy for political changes. It serves as a means for collective empowerment and can contribute to a broader understanding of the challenges faced by Black individuals. Furthermore, it can foster resilience and provide a platform for voices that might otherwise be marginalized. Notice all the buzzwords there. It's also important to recognize that solidarity movements, including Black solidarity, must operate within the bounds of respect for all individuals and groups and emphasizing inclusiveness and the promotion of equal rights for everyone. So that's a good thing. Like, in their mind, that's a good thing. ChatGPT's mind, that's a good thing, right?
Yeah. A pretty positive definition.
Yeah. And I mean, I think there's some aspect of that where if you pretend like Black people are Jews living in Nazi Germany, then there's some kind of, hey, like we're being attacked here and we got to figure out how to respond to this kind of thing. Right. And that's somewhat understandable in a certain way. Now I asked it the other way. So I did one little ChatGPT thing for Black solidarity, and then I did one for White solidarity 2 seconds later. Okay.
And it gave you another positive definition, right?
Yeah. So is White solidarity okay? The concept of White solidarity can be quite complex and is often context dependent. Here are a few different perspectives. Number one, criticism of racial solidarity concepts. We start with the criticism of the idea of racial solidarity, right? So the idea of racial solidarity, including White solidarity, is often criticized because it can reinforce racial divisions and perpetrate inequality. The notion of solidarity based on race can contribute to segregation and hinder efforts towards inclusive societies that value diversity. So it's like,
all right.
Step one, this could be harmful, right? Number two, support for racial equality and justice. In some contexts, individuals who identify as white might organize and act in solidarity to support racial justice and equality. So if they're advocating to support racial justice and equality, which means like giving up their privilege, right? So basically, this involves recognizing and using their societal privileges to advocate for and support changes that benefit marginalized communities. In this sense, the term solidarity refers to allyship and support for overcoming racial injustices rather than solidarity based on their race. So I mean, basically, the idea is like, let's talk about how all the ways in which this could go bad. And then like the only way you're allowed to, like the you as a white person are allowed to have solidarity with each other is to recognize that you're privileged. And then you need to give that privilege, use that privilege in such a way as to empower marginalized voices. And so as you think about like this, the way that this actually works is that you do have a huge double standard here, which is basically the idea that whites are oppressors, Blacks are the oppressed. So then Black people as an oppressed group can stand together in solidarity and try to fight for their, you know, equality of outcome, right? And then white people, on the other hand, if there's a sense in which like they band together, then they're doing that as members of a privileged community that are using their power in order to keep a brother down, you know, basically. So that's the way it works. So white solidarity, dangerous, bad. Black solidarity, good. But then I think if you look at what's happening, though, I mean, I'm basically asking the question, like what I'm trying to ask the question is just to say that, well, you think about what's actually happening if you have hundreds and hundreds of video evidence of white people just basically being like targeted and beat up, you know, for no reason. And you have all the, like, is there at some point, is there a transition point where white Christians can say, it seems like I'm viewed in this society as the villain in every single encounter. And in every single encounter I go in, I'm viewed as a villain, like particularly white males, right? So they're at the bottom of the intersectional hierarchy. And as individuals who are at the bottom of the intersectional hierarchy, where there's not going to be riots in the street, there's going to be no one getting your back, there's going to be, like, you can just literally get beat up on the internet and no one cares, right? And it seems like you're getting beat up because you're an easy person to get beat up, right? Like, like, is there any sense in which, like, white people can say, hey, I'm a member of a despised and hated majority group who has less rights than everyone else has in my society? And like, there's a sense in which you can just recognize in some neutral way that you're under attack as a particular group of people. And I would say that, yeah, I mean, that seems to be overwhelmingly obvious. Like, you, if you, you know, like, you as a parent, you should be telling your kids, if they're white male kids, like, you're going to have to work harder than everyone else is going to have to work in order to get ahead in this world, because you're not going to get scholarships based on your race. You're going to get excluded from jobs based on, like, your skin color, right? Not that this, I'm not validating the concept of race. I'm just saying, based on your skin color, you're going to get passed over by jobs. You're going to get passed over by, you know, scholarships. You're going to get passed over by everything else. Everyone in the society is going to, is free to discriminate against you, right? And view you as the villain in every single encounter. And you should know that, right? You should know that, because our society hates people who are like you. And the reason, and now, obviously, that's not like just a serving a self-protective end in itself, but I do think you can bring the gospel into that. Meaning, like, the issue is that we're a guilty nation and you're the scapegoat, right? Yeah. And so what's actually happening is we're living in a society that, like, hate, like, it's just filled with guilt, and they're trying to fix that no matter in whatever way they can. And they've labeled you as the villain at every encounter. So that may mean that you go into scenarios like that and you just get beat up and no one's going to care about it. And it's not going to be the same. And you're not going to get the jobs and whatever else. Like, that's because you're viewed as the villain in every encounter. So I do think it's important for Christians just to be able to recognize these things that are happening. I don't think a person should develop like a victim complex to where they're filled with bitterness. And I think that's the only answer the world has, is just to get bitter and bent out of shape about it. And, you know, ultimately, who knows what'll happen? Like, maybe, like, we're going to have a race war pretty soon or something like that, you know, and I think that would be concerning. But I don't think the answer to all that is just to deny reality, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I think as Christians, you should, like, there has to be some, like, if you're looking at the, like, if you have eyes in your head and you see what's actually happening, there should be some way for, like, people with white skin color to say, hey, it seems like we're the, particularly if you're a white male, you're the villain in every encounter. You get no intersectional points. Everyone view, like, you're gonna, no one's gonna take your side in any encounter, right? Like, and you're free to get beat up, man. You know, so be smart, you know, but don't let it turn into bitterness. Don't let it turn into, just understand where it's coming from. I think those are just important lessons that people have to be able to say at some point. And there really doesn't seem to be anyone who is able to say it. And the people who are saying it, I mean, I think they come across like they have a big chip on their shoulder. And that's unfortunate, for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that's a good place for us to wrap up the conversation on. And yeah, like I said, this is something that I've seen over and over again online. And, you know, and so there is a question for us, is like, yeah, how do we respond to these kinds of things without, you know, without, mourning way the world mourns and having, you know, giving over to despair and like hopelessness or something like that.
And I don't think the idea of like white people developing in a whole identity, I would just say this, like, I don't think that like the idea is that you should develop an identity that's, hey, I'm a white person, therefore I'm going to stand in solidarity together with white people. And it's just like for us, by us. And like, I mean, I think that a lot of the black solidarity, there is like a sense of, hey, if you really are a persecuted minority, like, trying to recognize what's happening, advocate for change, all that stuff is fine, but I think it does turn into ethnic partiality really quickly and tribalism very quickly. And I think a lot, like, you know, for FUBU, you know, all that kind of, like, that's not good.
You can certainly end up allying yourselves with a lot of people that you really shouldn't ally yourself with as a Christian.
Right. Yeah, I mean, your fundamental identity is in Christ. That's who you are. Your fundamental identity is Christian. But I do think that it's possible to say, hey, yeah, I think that like the world is operating in these categories and you seem to be fair game, you know, in that way. And just like, I do think if there's a mild way to answer a question like that is every time you see one of those videos, should you think, hey, this is personal a little bit? It's like, well, that it seems to be, you know. And I think it's okay to acknowledge there's some kind of personal animus towards people who look like you, that exist in the world, you know, without it turning into just, you know, out and out tribalism, to where there's, you know, segregation and everything else. So, I mean, I do think all the things ChatGPT said about the dangers of white solidarity applied both ways, you know, right? Yeah. And without the social justice lens on it, yeah, that's like the problem are that this can turn into tribalism and segregation and everything else. And I don't think that's the good, but at the same time, I don't think that there's any way you have a cohesive society where you have the media setting different groups of people in opposition towards each other and giving people free passes to perpetrate, you know, violence on people. It won't end good, you know, so we definitely need to be praying for country and people that they can keep a level head, and they need more people who are just willing to say, hey, this has to stop, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that is a good place to wrap up the conversation on it. And certainly, you know, we want to encourage people. Yeah. I liked what you said about, you know, not giving into despair, hopelessness, the same way the world does, bitterness, the same way the world does, because we have a hope and we have an identity, and that identity ultimately is in Christ. Right. And so we can't lose sight of that, but, we do want to thank all of you guys for supporting us week in and week out. We want to thank you guys for listening to the podcast, for, interacting with us online, for, supporting us through all the various ways you can support us. So if you're looking to help support us, you can do that by, first, liking and subscribe, or liking and commenting on the YouTube video, on the Rumble video, subscribing to the YouTube channel, subscribing to the podcast wherever you listen to it, leaving us a 5-star review. Those are really helpful ways to help us with, you know, that don't involve any finance or anything like that. It just takes a few seconds of your time to do, and it's really beneficial for us and the way the algorithms work. And then if you do want to support us financially, you can do that as well. We have a link to our Patreon down in the description where you can go and give to us financially there. And we certainly appreciate that as well. And until the next episode, we'll see you.
This has been another episode of Bible Bashed. We hope you have been encouraged and blessed through our discussion. We thank you for all your support and ask you to continue to like and subscribe to Bible Bashed and share our podcast with your friends and on social media. Please reach out to us with your questions, pushback, and potential topics for us to discuss in future episodes at BibleBashedPodcast@gmail.com and consider supporting us through Patreon. Now, go boldly and obey the truth in the midst of a biblically illiterate world who will be perpetually offended by your every move.